Live and Learn with us in season three. We are still talking about how we live and learn, how we adapt to change, how we are curious about mentalities, how we learn languages. What is Live and Learn for you? On this podcast, we also talk about how we live and learn, hence the name. We are lifelong learners and continue learning something new every day, every week, every month, every year. It's like a non-stop project. Actually, you can never stop learning. Once you started and got inspired and felt this taste for learning, and that I believe happens as soon as you're born. As a baby, you want to reach out for new objects, to know more about this life. Later, you want to know more about yourself. Then you get to know that there are new countries, new cultures, new people, and you want to be able to communicate with them. Therefore, you learn a new language and you want to know about a new culture. And that's a never-ending process.
That's true. This is exactly why we call ourselves a Growth Mindset Podcast, because we are not only talking about learning experience, but also we're sharing our own teaching experience, our own personal classroom cases in teaching individually, in teaching groups, in teaching online, offline, blended learning, hybrid learning. Ever since there, we also focus on specific skills, soft skills, 21st century skills, and we have the episodes covering the growth mindset, resilience, self-awareness, all the competencies, all the character traits that can help a growth mindsetter to enjoy the life better.
Hello, Live and Learn. How are you living and learning this week?
Learning to live in under the new circumstances. And the more we travel around the world, the more we live in different places, the more we're adapted to complete and utter change that comes to our new reality.
Our new reality, which is having to stay at home, having to shift lessons from offline to online, learning how to order your food takeaway and not sit in your favorite restaurant and just enjoy the atmosphere inside, which in times of lockdown is something that we have to adapt to.
For me also is not having regular meetups, regular events, regular kind of seeing other people and discussing the topics with them, having socializing, chats, and networking seriously. Yeah, for me, this is something that I, with my own psychological being, missed the most. And I think this is something that I used as the tool to get to know the new place last year, and something that I'm missing already this year. You know what? One of my friends wrote me a message. She just relocated to Norway 1 month maybe ago. She asked me a question like, how did you relocate? How did you adapt? How did you find all those connections? How did you make them meaningful? How to survive, basically. So she says, okay, now I need your advice. Now I'm ready to hear the advice. Tell me your experience.
It's so difficult to share your experience. Well, you can share your experience, but not necessarily will it work for other people. Still, of course, when we find ourselves in a weird situation, when we don't know what to do, how to adapt, we search for other people who have been in a similar situation as we see it. And so I understand the need of your friend to get to know more about how you survived, what you did, and what helped you. Let's talk about what helped us. So if you think of your experience of moving to Germany, which is the country where you've probably lived longer than in others, except for your own, what do you remember about the first weeks or months when you just moved? And what's the difference between how you feel now compared to back then?
That's a good question, because that was not the first relocation for me. I first relocated to Kyiv. And then after 2.5 years, after 3 years, we relocated to Germany. So basically, I already had this opportunity of living part of my story, identity, connections behind, and trying to deal with this and trying to take them to the new state where I am. And doing the second time, in a very short period, like 3 years would be quite a short period for such tectonic moves, I had already the experience. I already knew that if I am not focusing on making the connections work, if I am not putting enough energy to make these relations viable, stable, developing, that means that I'm losing those connections. And of course, you can call your friends from years ago and say, hey, who wants to see me when I'm in the city? But every time I went to Kyiv from Germany back, there were less and less people who would prioritize this, because I'm not probably now their own close or inner or prime circle. So that would be nice to have, but not necessarily need to have. Again, we have the priority analysis here. That means that I would suggest thinking that there will be the loss of the connectivity, because you cannot have it 24/7. You have your new life to adapt. But as well, to think that which relationships need investment of your time and efforts, and check-in, and like a simple, hi, how are you doing? A simple sending, I don't know, a new flower relevant to me, or maybe in the case with the kids, you know, toddlers, a smile of a kid, that's a good starter. That's a good conversation starter. How are you? How have you been? So on. What's new? So when you have these pings, like every week, every 2 weeks, most probably you'll be connected a bit better. When I moved here, the very first 2-3 weeks, we were super bothered with finding an apartment and going from the hotel to the apartment and getting our things unpacked and trying to understand how we're going to live here, if we have a fridge, if the fridge is big enough for us, if we have enough place, or if we have enough, I don't know, some kind of household items. That when you come to the new place, of course, you do not have the full capacity when you live for years. And for example, for cooking, you might be missing a very small thing like baking paper, for example, and you already feel unsettled. Well, might be a reason for another reminder that you're not at home any longer. So the main idea would be to concentrate, if it is possible, on making your new apartment, rent it even small, even, I don't know, whatever, as cozy and as yours as possible. Just like Mike said about the language, making the language yours. That would be the same idea, maybe, to make this new environment, this new home, yours. So I don't know, maybe you would guess, but our first move was the very first Saturday we went to the big flower center and we bought maybe like 20-25 flowers to make our balcony look alive, to make our super white, very small but very white apartment a little bit greener, a little bit livelier. And the very same day we felt like, oh, we're getting here. What was yours? You relocated 2 years ago. So what did you do the very first week or 2 weeks?
I just wanted to comment a bit on what you said, saying that you want to make this place your own. And to connect to this, what we often mention here on our podcast, wherever you go, what you take with you is you. And as well, you're going to the market to buy the plants and making your apartment yours is part of this. You take yourself with you and you surround yourself with things that make you feel at home. And this is not just an empty phrase. Feel at home with being surrounded with all the things that make you feel at home. For me as well, as soon as I moved, I felt the same lacking household utensils, all the things that I was used to having. But because I had previously had a similar experience living in Italy in rented flats, I already kind of knew what to be ready for. That's why probably it was not such shocking inconvenience. Anyway, this is among the first things you want to bring to your new home. All you need to cook, all you need to feel comfortable, very basic things, if we talk about Maslow's pyramid, is there. The feeling of safety, the feeling of protection, being able to cook, which means also to satisfy your basic needs. Very simple, but we just need to know what we need to feel safe and comfortable at home. A place to sleep, food to cook, something to make you feel cozy and want to come back. And this feeling of coming back home, as soon as you can say, I'm coming back home, it means you've settled down. I can say I quite quickly had this feeling of coming back home. Again, probably because I realized quite intensely that I take myself with me anywhere I go. So yeah, as soon as I have the basic needs satisfied, I feel at home, I feel okay. I live in a very minimalistic home, which is okay for me. I don't need decorations. I don't need a lot of stuff to surround myself with. Just basic, most necessary things are enough to make me feel at home. But at the same time, the painting you and your husband gave me as a birthday present that is hanging on a wall at my home makes me feel even more at home because of the connections, because it's so important and touching to know that your friends know significant things about you and are able to guess what will bring you happiness, feeling of home, and connections are also important more than anything.
Thank you very much. I don't know, I just have my goosebumps running all over me because of what you said. But this is as well extends to something like when we move abroad, sometimes there is a very limited capacity of what we can bring. And the very few months might be spent on looking for, I don't know, some kind of tiny insignificant things from the first point, like, I don't know, shampoo, shower gel, or I don't know, the cups or the wine glasses. And I think as much as we need to feel at home, these feelings can be as well scents and aromas. One of the main stimulants that we have is most probably to make some zimt braten. what's the English word for it? Cinnamon buns. Yeah, some kind of cinnamon. When you have your own baked whatever, actually you can buy the dough and put some cinnamon on it, and then when you bake it at home, you have this immediate feel that you are at home, if this is something that refers to you. When we have this adaptation phase and we know that everything will seem strange and unknown, and maybe when you wake up in the middle of the night and you go, I don't know, to refresh yourself, you might have this dread of understanding that you are somewhere else. My tip was to find at least those shampoos and scented, you know, toiletry that I know, that I feel comfortable with, that I have this moment when I feel it and open the bottle of, I don't know, of the hair conditioner. Of course, it might be not always the case if you're going from Ukraine to, I don't know, to Hawaii or to Asian countries. You most probably will not have the same, but something will be there. So, for example, I brought with me my shampoo because I knew that I would be missing it and I will need some time because I do depend on this specific treatment. And that was a feeling like every time you go to the shower that you have the comforting feeling. You open up your eyes while washing your hair and it doesn't seem strange. It doesn't seem weird as it might be. What else is I brought with me maybe a year supply of tea. So I just broke my piggy bank and bought 1.5 kilos of in total weight of 20-25 different sorts of tea. And I brought my teapot and, you know, the cups that I brought from China when I was in the tea contest there. Whenever I felt that it's dark, gloomy, I didn't know I'm home and something else, I would just pour myself a cup of tea to enjoy and to concentrate. You can buy a candle in any supermarket these days. So just to light a candle, to brew yourself a cup of tea. I don't know, in your case, maybe a cup of coffee.
I was so happy when I realized that the same brand of Italian coffee that I already knew is available here at my local supermarket. So I was done.
Yeah, the very first maybe a couple of weeks or months, there should be the things that you recognize. And then you have completely new wave of the things coming up because you are, when you settle in, when you understand that, okay, I'm fine, I can stand firmly. Then, of course, you go around, you try to discover what your neighborhood looks like, where to buy food, where to buy bread, where to buy fish, where to buy wine, where to buy, I don't know, something. And I had an opportunity to take a little bit of walk around the neighborhood in very first 2-3 weeks. The weather was great. Oh, maybe not like now, but it was September. August, September. So I was just trying to walk around to see, oh, here we have Thai food. Oh, here we have Georgian food or Greek food, or here is a jazz club. And I would come back home and say, oh, you know what I found, and trying to build up the map of our closest neighborhood by coming in and trying to, well, maybe not introduce myself, but to start a communication with the people who are in the shops around. I found that they are friendly, that they are okay, that they are cooking some good food, that they are happy to offer you a good choice of Riesling, for example. We had the market, Saturday market next to us. So the people who gave me back the impulse of starting the connection, for example, we had a lovely farmer who was selling, most probably he still does, the farm eggs. And he was always so smiling that he would ask me the questions, even though he doesn't speak English. So I was able to practice my very first phrases with him with a smile on his face. There was already, I felt like I'm building the connection with the person who I can see every Saturday. When we were lacking the eggs, and what he does, he exchanges the old trays for, like, he can take your old tray and put the new eggs into your own tray to minimize the waste. And for me, that was always such a meaningful thing that I was, you know, hurrying up to see the person who sells eggs, the person who makes the fresh bread, and was as well smiling to me, and then to rush to the place where they sell fresh fish, because people were speaking Italian there and they could start speaking Italian with them. So we had our Italian as the connection, and like, how do you know Italian? Oh, I studied there. Oh, seriously, where was that? In Calabria. Oh my gosh, Stefano comes from Calabria. I come from Sicily. So they already have the feeling that they found somebody relevant to them. And I had the feeling that they found someone relevant to me. And in this way, like making this small approaches to the local people who you have the opportunity to choose to see regularly was a nice way to know that they are there.
Which brings us higher across Maslow pyramid of needs, and this is the level of connections, of personal relationships, and this may not be as meaningful as you used to have when you worked in your previous country. Still, these are human connections that satisfy the need for connections on a psychological level. As for me, I also had some of the first connections in the language course, I believe, and students who come from different countries find themselves together in a language course where German is the only language that everybody can communicate in. Even if most people speak English, still everybody can only communicate in German. So German is the common language for everyone in the group. And then a teacher most often also speaks German and not English with you. So this allowed to create these first connections with other expats or foreign students who come to Germany to do their bachelor's or master's. And then you create your first connections that, again, I would repeat, are not friendships, but are those first connections that allow you to feel part of a community that connects you with people, that makes you feel you belong to a group, even if this feeling of belonging is not so essential for me. Still, to all expats, it doesn't really matter, I would say, which country you come from and which country you relocate to, but finding these very first connections with the people in the market or the supermarket around the corner, or with the people in your language course, or the first colleagues at work if you start working, creates and moves you to the next level of the needs that as humans we want to satisfy before we go on further to satisfying higher hierarchy needs.
Another thing that goes even further is having the support, having some kind of the help from around, and specifically helpful thing that we appreciated a lot was the multiple forums for the expats in Berlin for the advice for Ask an Expat or something like. Well, basically, this is a group online with thousands of people who can immediately help you to solve some weird problems just because of this locality, this local situation. So, for example, most of the text messages start like, I received a weird letter. It starts with this, or like, can you translate what they want from me? Or, for example, what is that? Or, for example, guys, that's my third day in the new apartment, and I found a chocolate under my door. What to do? What does it mean? What is happening? Or, for example, where to find an appointment for the Zirkamt, which is the local registration office, because everybody knows how difficult it is to get the appointment, so they would tell you what time to go, when to go, and how they survived it. Or something like, you know, this immediate advice that if you were preparing very well and you read all the forums where you have like tons of the texts already written, just like in Wikipedia, you get the forum to how to relocate to each specific country, how to buy the tickets for the underground, what are the options for the families, what are the options for the weekends, and so on, so on. What am I supposed to do in this situation? So whenever you feel like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Because we are living 2020 already, there is these forums where people are sharing their experience because everybody was in this position, in this place. You have such a relief when you get the answer. You have such a relief when somebody helps you. And when you get an advice and it works, you have suddenly the feeling that everything is not that strange and weird and scary. I think this mutual help is a big thing. If you have a friend who's been here already, it's already a good idea. A lot of people connect each other when they relocate, because everybody knows this scare of loneliness and not knowing what to do, sitting at home in the weekends. Of course, it's nice ways to move forward and to go to the park, to the museum, to discover the city. But you really need this hand, you know, somebody who you can say, okay, let's go for a beer, for a coffee, because this is something that we need to have. Right now, with the problem of the lockdown, this might be a very strange situation because you just cannot go to have a beer with somebody else. But the person who I know from here, from Berlin, says, well, we always can go to the park and have a philosophical discussion or have a stroll in the park. Or I don't know, if you have your kids to walk all the day long, so you will see the people who are having the same situation. So maybe finding a forum for expats with kids, like mom's forums with kids, to have a quick answer where to find which doctor, what to do in this case, what is normal to do in this environment, in this case. So who to call, where to run. If you have somebody to refer to, you're already on the safe side.
Yeah, that's again about the feeling of belonging and, like you said, having someone to refer to, or surrounding yourself with people who are in the same life situation as you find yourself in now. and someone who's new at work, someone who's just applied for a university, I don't know, whatever situation you're in, there are always people who are in a similar situation. And thanks to multiple forums, groups, online associations, offline associations as well, all of this allows us to feel, if not safe, at least know that you can always ask for help. And for expats, it's really important, especially if you can ask for help in your language. You know, there is even a psychological, online psychological service that works in your language. And there are multiple languages. For expats who are in need of psychological help and cannot go to a local psychologist because they don't speak a language, enormous opportunities for all the expats who have different kinds of needs and can get help, whether to find a doctor or to find a psychologist or to get to know which service or to go to. In case of need, this is also helpful. Of course, it's not to be underestimated. Yeah, when we move to another place, we still don't know how things work there. And so, yes, your first contacts who can give advice or help you get oriented in how things work. What are the days when supermarkets are closed? What are the days and times, like opening times of different offices? How do things work? It's so important to know, because if not, you get lost, not because there is something wrong with you, just because you're a newcomer and you need time to adapt.
But also because there is the completely different level of information that flows on you. When everything is settled, you don't need to have so much time to operate all this information. But if all the information, the hairdresser, where to get a hairdresser, I don't know, who's doing your nails, and or who is cutting your hair, or who's, I don't know, whatever, such things overwhelm you. First, you don't know how to find it, and then you find that there are so many, and then you don't know how to choose.
And so when chances are very big that you get lost, I might sound boring again because I say it again and again and again. Take your routines with you, because they help us not to feel lost to such an extent as we would otherwise feel. If I go jogging every morning, it doesn't matter where I am and what the opening times of the offices are. I bring my routines to this new place and I follow them. I drink my coffee in the morning. I go jogging. I have lunch at certain times. I teach my students online wherever I am, wherever they are. Bringing your routines with you decreases the level of feeling lost in a new environment.
What else is important to remember, that if you go to intercultural communication, there is always the intercultural communication theories and practices, and most probably you can try and read what is known already by research, by science, what are the most working ideas to get to know how to deal with, how to find. If you just Google this, there will be tons of the examples, tons of the tips. Okay, out of 15 tips, most probably 10 would not fit you, but those two that you decide to try out might be the ones that you needed the most. Again, transferable skills, something that you can transfer from another situation. So, for example, if I teach my business students that the very first unit of the book, of the business communication book, is called building trust. And building trust takes your own actions as well. So if you are in a situation when you have us and them, that means that you need to build a bridge over this two banks of the river. So if you just follow the same communication strategies of building trust and building relationships, maybe most probably you will start getting relationships based on trust. So what can it be? Finding the similar goals or similar objectives. Finding how and where do you feel similar. So basically you can say, oh, you two are having this flower on your balcony. Oh, you two have chosen this bread. Or we both did this. Or I have the similar problem. So whenever you add up these three key words of making a connection, like we, us, together, similar, mutual. The second one is to be able to connect emotionally and to say, I am sad that I cannot find my favorite beer. Could you help me? So basically showing the emotions shows you that the people who are strange to you, that you are a normal operating human being, and it's okay to do this. Or I'm so happy to find this beer which I was looking for. For example, to show emotions and to formulate them always helps to get connected on emotional level. Then the next thing is showing the empathy, right? Not only saying how you feel, but also showing the empathy. I can see that you feel lost. So one of the best things when we come to another city or the company or in other countries, like when the tourists ask you how to get around, how to get somewhere. And then you have this, I live here just for the 2-3 weeks and I already can show where the bank is or where the park is and so on. So just try to offer support and be useful first. Try to give help, try to start the conversation and also to show trust in others, saying like, oh, I will trust your choice. So for example, when you come to the little shop and you don't know which bread to buy, you can ask, what would you recommend? Which is best? Which is your favorite? And I don't know, maybe it may help. As for example, with the fish that I buy normally. And when I say, oh, I will trust your choice, I will try what you recommended. And when you come the next time, that is the perfect starter for this. Oh, the one that you recommended me last time was such a good thing. I loved it. Then you have the special connection with the person. You continue. He wants to give you best. He wants to answer your questions. And if you come there back and forth, and this is your local bread, beer, wine, or fish, that means that in a couple of weeks, they will remember you if this is something that you're looking for. But whatever it is, what is important here is that to start or make your first steps in building trust and relationship with people around.
If, as you said perfectly, I liked it, if this is something that you're looking for, if this is something that you need. I can never imagine myself asking for advice of another person if it's not at a restaurant, at a shop. I can't imagine myself asking for a recommendation based on what another person likes. I would rather choose by myself, make a mistake, come back later, try again. But if I don't like, so if I like something another person recommends, I will be happy. If I don't like something another person recommends, then that's a problem for me.
The very first night that we found the apartment and we got in, even without all our suitcases, because they didn't arrive by that time. They hadn't arrived by that time. We made a circle around to see where is the trash, where is the bread, where is the like all the amenities. And we found a little wine shop. I jumped in and said, oh, we have a wine shop just around the corner. And I said, we have a very special evening today. We just moved in where the new people in the neighborhood. I can see that you have so much fabulous wine, which I still don't know, which I am to find out. What would you recommend to celebrate? I need to tell you that over the year that we lived in that neighborhood, whenever I was coming there, I said, can I have the one that you recommended me the first time? Or something similar to the one that you recommended me the first time. And do you know what? For this Berlin anniversary, we bought the very same bottle of wine from the very same shop seller. I want that bottle as well because I want to have this connection. And the person who is doing this, he knows me. I've been there for a couple of tastings. We bought it quite regularly. I bought off from there, and he felt joy that I made such a, I would say, memory connection with this place, with this bottle, and with our being here. Well, if this is something you're looking for, well, maybe this might be the thing. If this is not something that you're looking for, then most probably you will find your own ways. But as we said, what you bring with you is you. For me, those little connections are important, and they can make a circle around the neighborhood just to get there and to have a nice talk.
If that's what you're looking for, and sure, being connected with your own needs is also important at any step, at any level of relocation, staying connected to your own needs. I really believe this is one of important things that an expat needs to come back to. Always be aware of whether what you're doing satisfies your needs and not just social conditions or other people's advice or what all expats are supposed to do. Mm-mm. Be connected with your needs and be sure you will find an easier way out of it or a way into it. But you will just feel more comfortable if you're connected to yourself. Because if you go online and just Google advice for expats, there will be millions of recommendations based on other people's experience. And what we're doing here right now, we also share our own experience. And in no way can it be perfect advice to any given person. But in general, if you go online and see, okay, you need to first come, get to know the environment, find your local shop, get to know your routines in a new place, etc. It sounds very generalized and can work for someone, will not work for everyone, definitely. And this is not the aim of all such recommendations and of our talk as well. But as I see the idea and why what we are discussing based on our experience can be reference to someone else is that you're not alone. Whatever you feel, however lost you might be, whatever kind of trouble you might encounter, you're not alone, because all of us, everyone who has ever moved, knowing or not knowing the local language, knowing or not knowing someone in the place you moved to, with all our individual features, we have all been in the same boat and we are still there. So we're just sharing what helped us that you can probably relate to, and see what can work for you and feel that anyway you're not alone.
So learn to live.
Live and learn.
Curious about what we discuss next? Please subscribe to Live and Learn podcast and join our community on social networks. Live and Learn.